And so as I was describing that, that really breaks the documentation or the way to think about this into two different buckets. Again, you have the basic building blocks and the green circle below. And then you have what's in the red circle, which is actually the documentation for the hedge, for the power hedge. And so here, the main concern for hedge providers is credit risk, because they're basing all of the documentation, all of the transaction that I described, which is the fixed or strike price minus the floating price or the market price and payment of the difference, that all depends on the fundamental building block of the facility generating electricity, delivering it to ERCOT, and the project company receiving the wholesale market revenue. So the documentation between the hedge provider and the project company will contain covenants to make sure that the basic building block underneath in the green circle remains untouched, that the project company truly is receiving wholesale market revenue. Or else, as a hedge provider, the hedge provider cannot be sure that the project company will have the funds to either A, purchase electricity to be physically delivered at the hub if it's a physically settled transaction, or B, if it is a financially settled transaction, that the project company will have the funds to pay the difference between the market price and the fixed price if the market price is above. So we can talk about that more later when we get to Winter Storm Uri, to talk about the effects of that between fixed shape and unit contingent, which is always it's another way to describe how you determine what the hedge quantity is in the formula. But let's get into round out the background to quickly discuss how power hedges fit into the overall project development structure. So you have the offtake agreement, which is at the far left, which is the hedge agreement. And right here, that this demonstrates a physically settled hedge transaction, which I know is not a true hedge transaction, but for simplicity, we'll call it a hedge transaction. Right. Well, and then in the middle, you have the tax equity transaction documented through an equity capital contribution agreement. And then on the far right, you have the loan agreement or the credit agreement with the lenders. And then it's a very, very basic structure of how the tax equity and the loan or credit agreement work with respect to the hedge agreement. And then just the next slide, really quick, financially settled hedge agreement, pretty much the exact same. The only difference is there's no scheduling of delivery to the hub by the project company and no receipt at the hub by the hedge provider, but still essentially the same, really the same structure. It's just for that extra step is missing. And then the payment streams can be either from hedge provider to project company or project company to the hedge provider by the double arrow. All right. Now let's get into the excitement. Oh, and I did forget to mention, I'm very happy to answer any questions as they come up or at the end of the session. So please feel free to submit your questions as they come up, and be very happy to go over anything that you have. So let's talk about COVID-19 real quick. Not sure how much we need to go into detail about it, because that is our lived experience. Although at the time was anticipating this to be live, and it's not, which shows we're still living through the effects of it. But especially when COVID-19 first happened, or the effects of it first started being felt in 2020, there was a bit of disruptions to the project development timelines, which affected offtake agreements when they went online. Particularly in some instances, one example would be planning commissions just didn't meet. They canceled their meetings, which can delay the ability to get necessary permits. So what used to be considered pretty reliable permitting schedule to say, hey, this is routine. Planning Commission meets. They sign off. You get your permit. If they don't meet, you can't get your permit even if it's signed off. So there were some effects with that, which caused unanticipated delays. And then also a big question early on when there were a lot of restrictions was, hey, are renewable energy projects, do they qualify? Does construction of them qualify as essential work falling under the umbrella of infrastructure? Not so much a contracting issue, but it was a question that would have affected construction timelines and any milestones that had to be in place pursuant to your documentation. It applies to EPC and offtake agreements with respect to interim milestones and then COD deadlines as well.